So Perek Yud Mishnah Zayin. Since in the previous Mishnah we started talking about, who should be disadvantaged in the lender or the borrower, so we're going to have other cases where you can see that the din is that someone in the deal is perforce disadvantaged. The first case is Shnei Achin, you have two brothers, Echad Ani ve'Echad Asher. One's poor and one's rich. V'niach lehen avien, merchatz ubeis habad. And their wealthy father left them as an inheritance a beis merchatz, that's a bath house, a spa, let's call it, a beis habad, or an olive press. Now those are useful if you're rich, but not useful if you're poor. And the problem is one brother is rich, one brother is poor. So asan l'schar, if they were anyways there as like rental properties, and they, the spot, was an operating business, so of course what's the big deal? Haschar la'emtza, that there'll be a pot in the middle, and all the profit that the spa generates will be divided amongst brothers. Where same goes if they rent out the base of Bad for local farmers to press their olives, again, they'll collect their money, like an operating business, and split the money. However, asan la'atzman, if this, either the spa or the press was like a private facility for the family, not for public use. Now, some learn, Bartner learned that it's that the father insisted that it should stay within, it should stay in the family private. We shouldn't, shouldn't sell it, we shouldn't rent it out. So, some learn, like Bartner, that will be binding. That was the father's wishes not to sell it, so that stays, and therefore they can't rent it out. Others learn, that's crazy. How in the world can the father who's dead demand that the two brothers not use the spa for what they want to? And therefore they learn the problem is that this base and bod, the olive press of the spa is too small. It's too small to function for public. It's a private spa or a private base and bod, but not a public one. It's not practical. Either way, if it's for private use, harehe. So then, the poor guy might want to say, listen, I have no use for an olive press, I have no olives. Or I have no use for a spa because it costs a fortune to run a spa. You have to get slaves to bring the water and the running water. You have to get the wood to burn it. It's all expensive. I'll do without a spa. So, Hareha Esher Amar Lani. Nevertheless, the rich brother considered the poor brother, listen, we're not tearing up the spa or the Beis Habad. Kach lach avadim. Get yourself some slaves. V'yirchatzu b'merchatz. And, bath yourself as long as you want. Or kach lach zeisim. Buy yourself some olives. And then uva the Asem Bebeis Abad, get yourself all the olives and use the press to your heart's content. The point is, obviously that's a nasty thing to say because the poor brother doesn't have any olives and can't afford to get slaves, so therefore even though there's an ass which is half his, he can't can't use it. So that's not fair. So that's an example of where there's some sort of iniquity in the dividing up of the asset. And the truth is that, like we said in the very beginning, the first parak, these things are too small to have Kadei Chalukah. You can't cut a spa in half or cut a olive press in half and I get one half, you go one half. And if it's too small, we said there is a possibility. Partners can always say, listen, good or agud, either you buy me out or I'll buy you out. But I'm not considering this partnership. The problem is, the poor brother doesn't have any negotiation power here because the rich brother knows that he's not going to get bought out and he hasn't got the money to pay. So therefore, the poor brother's stuck. Okay. A new din, but also related on the related ideas of, contracts, which still the outcome is unfair. Shnayim, you have two guys, Shahayu Birachas. They live in the same city and lived in the good old days before last names. Shemechad Yosef ben Shimon. The first guy's name was Yosef and his father was Shimon. But Shemechad Yosef ben Shimon. And the other guy had the exact same name, Yosef ben Shimon. I mean, it can happen, for goodness sakes. So, Ein Yichon Laholti Shtarchov Zelze. If good old, Yosef number one wants to collect money that he loaned to Yosef number two, you won't be able to, because Yosef number two could say, based on, what do you mean? That was my IOU that you're turning around and using back on me, because you switched it's like you switched the names around. And you're attacking me with my own contract. Since we don't know if it's true or false, we won't enforce it, and therefore it won't work. Because you won't be able to, the one Yosef won't be able to collect from the other Yosef on the contract. And, similarly, if a third party comes and says, listen, Yosef, you owe me money, that Yosef A could say, no, it wasn't me, it was Yosef B. And again, Yosef, the lender will be able to prove it, if that's all it says, it's just Yosef and Shimon, so he's sadly out of luck. Now, parenthetically, if the two Yosefs wanted to collect on another party, they certainly could, because they could work in cahoots. They could say, like, essentially sign up the power of attorney one to the other. Say, whoever you owe the money to, pay it to one of us. Yeah, fine. Either way, nimtzala echad bein shtarosov. If a person finds amongst his contracts shtar shel Yosef ben Shimon parua, the contract of a certain Yosef ben Shimon was paid, but he knows he loans out to both of them, so then shtar shneim paruin. He won't be able to collect from either one of them, because either one will be able to, you know, hide behind that piece of paper. So then, ketzed yasu. So what do you do if you want to protect yourself from this dilemma? You want to lend to good old Yosef? So it's not hard at all. Yishaleshu. Just put back a third generation, and it'll be obviously very simple. Bimhayim mishulashim. If it happens, the unlikely case where it's Yosef ben Shimon ben Reuben, but that's the same name for both of them, then yichtavu simon. Just say, the guy with the gray beard, or whatever the story is, or red beard, or whatever, a dimple on his forehead, who knows what. If they look exactly the same, they got the same dimple on their forehead, whatever, then yichtavu kohen, then write something else, like their shavit, whatever. The point is, make some recognizable feature or lineage, you should be able to identify who the proper person is, and you've solved the problem. Okay, a new paragraph, but again, a similar situation where contracts are sort of unenforceable and sort of some injustice embedded in the problem. It says, Ha'omer l'bino, if on a guy's deathbed, he says to his son, listen, son, we have a portfolio of IOUs sitting in the closet, from 100 different people, but shtar ben shtarosav parua, one of those contracts amongst the 100 have been paid already, right? Ve'eni yodea ezehu, but I forgot to now my deathbed which of the 100 have been repaid. So then, shtaros kulan paruin, the poor son can't go collecting on any of these shtaros lest he press the wrong, press the one person who did pay the money already. Obviously, if the borrower admits he owes the money, that's not a problem. But the lender can't go pushing people around because he knows that one of them was paid. So one would mess it up for everybody. Nimtu le'echad sham shnayim, if amongst the contracts the same borrower has two IOUs standing out. So in other words, there are 100 contracts in there, and two of them came from the same guy, Plony. So obviously only one was paid, so other one's outstanding, but that being the case, Hagadol Perua, the son has to assume that the bigger one was paid off, Vakatan Eina Perua, and the smaller debt is one that hasn't been paid off. Because he knows that one hasn't, but it could be, we have to assume the worst for him. Okay, fine. Now, that's that. Now a new din. We're really in a whole new din here. I don't know why it's not a new Mishnah. This is the halachas of an Arev. An Arev is a guarantor of a loan. So it's A is lending to B money, and he pulls in a guarantor that says if B can't pay, then this guarantor, the Arev, is good for the money. Okay? Now, we will get to later on the Arev Kablan, who says, you can come to me before even... You don't need to press the original borrower. I'll give the cash if you need it without you having to go chase them down. But we're not there yet. Right now, we're talking about because there's going to be a girsa problem, chasurim extra. But for now, we're standing for a regular Arev, and a regular Arev, the gist of it is, you first have to try to collect from the borrower. If you can't, then the Arev, is the guarantor for that loan. So the Mishnah says, Hamalves chaveru al yedei Arev. If lender lays $100 out to borrower, and the lender demands there should be some other Arev, a guarantor. So the guarantor says, yes, if you can't pay, if you can't get the money out of the borrower, then I'll give the $100. So now, lo yipara mina Arev. There's no way to collect from the Arev, the guarantor, until you have a Beis Din already saying judgment that the lender is incapable of paying. In other words, that he hasn't got the money. Which means, of course, if the borrower is out of town, so then you'll have to wait. The lender will have to wait because the borrower is in Timbuktu until he gets back, because the Beis Din can't rule until the borrower gets back. Vim Amar. Now what happens if at the outset the lender says, Almanas, I'll only lend you on condition, She'epara mimi she'eretza, that I can choose which one I'm going to collect, either from you, Mr. Borrower, or from you, Mr. Arev. In that case, Yepara mina Arev, in that case, he'll be able to collect from the Arev without having to go to Beis Din, but he will not be able to collect from the Arev if the, even then, he will not be able to collect from the Arev if the borrower has the money. Even if he stipulated, even if the lender stipulated, I want to collect from either you or the Arev, I want to have the rights. Even so, that will allow him to circumvent waiting to go to Beis Din if the Arev is out of town, but it will not allow him to collect from the Arev if the borrower actually has the money. Okay? Because we're not talking about Arev Kavlan yet. So that's the din. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, im yesh nechasim lelova, he says, listen, if the borrower has any money, so then, ben kach or ben kach, it doesn't matter whether or not the lender said I want the rights to collect from anyone I want or not, well, you par min ha'arev, then the lender, cannot collect from the borrower, cannot collect from the arev, so long as the borrower himself has the money to pay back the loan. Now, the problem is, if you now think about it, Rav Shimon Gamliel said exactly what the Tanakhama said, which is, even if there's an Arev and you've agreed that the Arev will have to pay without going to Beis Din, everyone has said so far that if the borrower has the money, you can't collect from the Arev. So that's a problem. So the Gemara says, oh, it's a chesur nechzer, they're missing words, and there's another line that should be here that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is arguing with. And that is a new case, which is, everything we said stands. Just that. A third, so number one, if there's a regular Arev, you have to go to Beis Din first and get a rule from Beis Din that the Arev can't pay. If the case number two is if the lender says I want the rights to collect from whoever I want, so then Beis Din is not required. As long as the borrower hasn't got the cash, he can go to the Arev, but he needs to not have the cash. Now, case number three, which we didn't have in the words of the Mishnah, is the Arev Kablan. That if the Arev agrees to be what's called an Arev Kablan, meaning he says, you don't have to, the Arev says, you don't have to go to the borrower, you can come straight to me. You make the loan, and I'll pay you back the money. Not make the loan and try to go to him, and if he can't pay you, I'll be good for it. So there, the Tanakhama says, in such a case, the lender can go straight to the Arev, because it's an Arev Kablan, and collect the Mekabel, get the money from ASAP, immediately, without worrying about Beis Din, without worrying about whether the borrower can pay. And just go straight to him. And on that, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is arguing. And he says, no. Even an Arev Kavlan who says, I'm good for the money, you can't collect from him if the borrower himself has the money. Okay? The halacha is, like the Tanakhama, that once you have an Arev Kavlan in the mix, and the Arev Kavlan says, you can collect from me right away, then indeed, when the loan comes due, the lender can go straight to the Arev Kavlan and get his money. Okay. V'chein, and thus, Haya Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, he used to say, He'arev le'isha b'ksubasa. If a person says, the v'chein means that you can't collect so fast. The same way Rav Shimon Gamliel says you can't collect from the arev if the borrower has the money. He also said, if a person says to a woman, you know what, you're afraid to marry that guy because he has to give you a ksub of 200 zuz and you're afraid he won't have the money, don't worry, I'll be an arev for him. If he divorces you and he hasn't got the money, you can come to me. So then, if that's what really happens, the husband divorces the girl, so then, according to Shimon Gamliel, Yedirena, let me set off, I'll read it first, but I'll explain it. Yedirena Hana, the husband must first take a neder, al das ram, like a public, uncancelable neder, that he will never get benefit again from his now ex-wife. Shema Yaasu Kanunya, lest they're doing some sort of fancy, a conspiracy to squeeze money out of this Arev. Al Nechasim Shel Zeh, V'yachzir Es Ishto. And as soon as the Arev pays the money for the Ksuba, then the husband who divorced wife will remarry his wife and get the money in his pocket. So let me just explain that out a little more and make sure it's clear. The Gemara says, listen, surprisingly, a woman is just happy to get married to anybody, and therefore Shitaka would get married even if there was no Arev on the Ksuba. So really the Arev didn't intend to ever pay this Ksuba, and even though he didn't intend to ever pay the Ksuba, he didn't really mess around the woman because the woman wanted to get married. So then this whole thing would fall apart. It's just that, says the Gemara, when it comes to a person's father, in other words, if the woman is supposed to marry the boy, but the boy didn't have the cash, or the woman is afraid of the cash, and the boy's father said, I'm good for the money if my kid can't come up with it, if he divorced you, since the father loves the son, he taka meant to stand behind the son, and that's the case we're talking about here, where the husband's father agreed to be good for the ksuba if he couldn't pay, and now the husband goes and divorces his wife, the Mishnah is saying, in such a case, this is Rav Shimon Gamliel saying, we're afraid the boy just got some crazy shtick to squeeze money out of his father, and his plan was, we're afraid his kanunya, his plot was, he's going to tell the wife, I'm divorcing you, you collect the money from my father, and then I'll remarry you and we'll be rich with my father's money. So because of that, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, before the father has to pay, the son has to take a neder, a permanent, uncancelable das rab, like a neder that can't be have hatara done to it, that I will never remarry her again, I have no hanah from her. And that way the father has no risk of kanunya, of the plotting against the father to take his money, because the boy can never remarry the wife again.
Okay? Just the father, why not? That's a regular person.
Because I guess, because a regular person, we wouldn't force him to pay anyways. Even if he said he would pay as an Arav, we don't make him pay, because we say he didn't really mean it, he was just trying to do a mitzvah.
Really means it.
Father means it, he loves his kid. The other guy's just trying to do a mitzvah, he's saying, don't worry, get married to the guy, you don't have to worry about it. If he can't pay you, I will. But the woman wants to get married anyways, which is like sort of, you know, girls get cold feet, so this is just an assurance. That's what the Gemara understands.